We have pitcher injuries. We have the Twins not going out and adding to their pitching depth, at least in the rotation right now. How are you guys feeling about it? Let's check in with Roy Smalley and Lavelle Neal here on Chin Music. This is our baseball show at TalkNorth.com. Roy, of course, former Viking star, former Twin star, current Twins broadcaster. Lavelle E. Neal, columnist for the Star Tribune. I'm Jim Suhan, also a Star Tribune columnist. Brandon Morton is our producer. Best way to listen to this show or any show you like at TalkNorth.com. Subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services studio. Thanks to Aquarius Home Services. Thanks also to Twill and the Dining Galleria. Also want to let you know, John Krasinski, our basketball expert, is taking a group on a trip to Spain this summer through Defined Destinations. Go to DefinedDestinations.com. Check it out. Those trips are always fantastic. John will be a great host. I highly recommend going there. All right, gentlemen. How are you feeling about the rotation now that we have a new fifth starter in Louis Varland? Let's start with Roy.
Well, I'm in wait and see mode. I liked what was going on before with Louis and the potentially the bullpen, especially with the injury to Duran. So it's starting to feel a little bit like plugging holes again in a ship. And I'm not as crazy about it as I was, but a lot of that has to do with, you know, with Duran being hurt, and maybe the positive is that Louis Varland will step up, find secondary and tertiary pitches, and be a really good starter for the Twins. So he's going to get that chance. We'll see.
I didn't like the trade to start with. I didn't like getting Descalfani from the get-go, just because he came to the Twins coming off arm problems last year. I kind of resigned myself to the fact that the trade wasn't necessarily for him, but it was probably more for Justin Topa, the reliever, and a prospect. And maybe the Twins had to just take on Descalfani at the end as well. I just didn't like the fit. And I always thought that Varland was potentially is a better pitcher than Descalfani, but I thought maybe even a better option right now. This is the rotation I kind of expected. I didn't expect a lot from Anthony, just because track record wasn't that great, and he's banged up. So, and the Twins have a thing about they don't mind taking risks to bring in pitchers, but taking those risks have gotten them into trouble a little bit with Paddock, with going back to Sam Dyson. There's been a handful of guys that they've added and didn't care that there's an injury possibility, like Chris Paddock. You know, the Mets saw the medicals and didn't want to touch him. The Twins saw the medicals and said, okay. And Paddock pitches for the Twins a little bit, ends up going down for Tommy John surgery. So, so I'm concerned about the depth now. Who's like the sixth, seventh, and eighth starters in the pecking order? Because you're not going to have situations like last year happen every year where I believe like five guys for the Twins made 80% of the starts. And it's inevitable that you're going to have to dip down into the minors, whoever you got stashed there, to make some starts during the season. So it's to Simeon Woods Richardson, the sixth best guy. It's David Festa in the top eight. You know, who's gonna be called up now if something else goes wrong or someone underperforms? So that's a concern, because I don't know if they have that area covered. And I wouldn't be surprised if they find a veteran who's kind of just simmering out there to stash half a season at St. Paul. But yeah, I'm not liking the depth. I do like the fact that the offense looks like it's going to be better. And just for a month, they're going to miss Duran, but I think the bullpen's going to be better than last year as well. So they got other areas of their game that they can make up for starting pitching. But man, they did not adequately replace Sonny. And now the one guy he brought in is broken down, and it's they could get exposed for this.
As Roy said, now all of a sudden it does feel like a team that has a lot of its – I mean, listen, the position players could be excellent. The bullpen could be excellent, even with the injury starting the season. The rotation – the end of the rotation does feel a little dicey now. And I usually don't put any stock in any spring training performances, but the day after he's told he's basically in the rotation, Louis Varland goes out in a spring start and throws 95 and gets hit around. We saw him last year in short relief getting up to 98, 99, 100 with what looked like unhittable stuff. Here he is, you know, throwing as a starter, and his stuff reverted to what didn't work very well for him in the starting role. I just think that if you can get, I know Louis wants to be a starter. I know there's a theoretical possibility that his dominant reliever stuff will translate into a starting role. But what we do know is that they could use Louis near the end of the game right now, and he could give him one of the best bullpens in baseball. We just don't know if he's going to be a good starting pitcher. Lavelle, you start the discussion on this one.
Yeah, we still don't know. He has shown flashes that he could be a good starter. I still remember his first major league start in New York against the Yankees, and he pitched fairly well in that game. But he started out last year promising, but then you know kind of fell off a cliff there. Ended up having to go down to St. Paul. So I'm a little bit concerned that there's still some growing pains he has to go through, but I still think talent wise he could do it. I think he's added another pitch this year. He's going to try to expand his repertoire. He did touch 97 a couple of times in his last outing, but yeah, Jim, I made the same note too in my mind about finding he's told he's in the rotation and goes out and kind of has a rough start. That's a little bit of concern. Yeah, but definitely looks like he could be a better reliever than starter, but the Twins need him to start. So they're going to have to ride with the ups and downs of him just trying to still get his a base under him as a starter. But you're right. I mean, man, seeing him come out of the bullpen late last year, it was tantalizing. But they need him to start right now, and hopefully he steps up, and hopefully his last outing on Wednesday wasn't a warning of more things to come.
But look, I'm just going to go back to what I said, and maybe not clearly enough when we opened the show. But there's a reason why, as a starter, it's like it has been one step forward and two steps back. And the reasons actually are two. One is that as a starter, to your point, Jim, he throws 95 and his fastball is very straight. And if you don't have really good secondary pitches, that's not good enough not these days in the big leagues. And he doesn't have good secondary pitches, or he has not had good secondary pitches. When you throw a 97, 98 out of the bullpen for an inning, that plays. 97, 98 straight fastball with just a show-me breaking ball of some kind, a show-me something else of some kind. I mean, we saw how that can play. So I have a real concern about him as a starter because he's not going to just be throwing 97, 98 free and easy and mixing in some other stuff. He's going to be throwing 95 at best, and he's going to be working on secondary pitches. I think I really hope he becomes a great starter. He has the makeup for it, I think. I like his mental toughness. I like what's in his stomach. And he's a battler. I like everything about him, except he just hasn't proven yet that he's got starter stuff. He's proven he's got a great arm. He hasn't proven that he's got starter stuff yet. There's a lot to starter stuff, and we just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I would have loved if they had gone out and gotten Blake Snell when Blake Snell's financial demands were reduced to make him more like a Carlos Correa signing. Obviously, they're not going to do that. Obviously, they're not going to go out and spend big money on Jordan Montgomery. So, as Lavelle talked about before, what are the next options? Simeon Woods Richardson, is he good enough to help them win a division title this year if needed? Is Festa ready? And if it's not those two, who is it, Lavelle?
Yeah, the person may not be on the roster right now. They may have to go out and get somebody, or your buddy Dallas Keuchel still out there hasn't signed. I think he may be one of those guys who enjoys waiting half a season before you're hooking up with a team, but that may be an option going down the road. I swapped texts with Jake Odorizzi because he threw twice with the Twins in attendance, and he said that he was told that the Twins were happy with their pitching setup as it was. And that was about 6 weeks ago. So things definitely have changed since then. So I don't know if they will want to double back and revisit that possibility with him. He hasn't signed yet either. So I'm thinking that guy might not be on the roster right now, man. I got to see who else is going to round out the rotation at St. Paul to see who the possibilities are. But they don't have. I mean, I don't know where there's a bunch of guys. They had a couple of veterans in recent years that have pitched there to be ready just in case they needed someone. I think they're going to need someone. So I expect the transaction to be made. I don't know if it's going to be early or midseason, but they're going to have to bring in someone because I wouldn't trust that if Seaman Woods Richardson is like your best option at St. Paul, that's a concern.
What do you think, Roy?
Well, I think that, I mean, I don't have anything to add to that. Lavelle knows more about what's going on in St. Paul than I do. I really don't know who the guys are that might be candidates, but I think Lavelle's statement is that if Seaman Woods Richardson is next man up, he's next best option. I think that's a problem.
So with the injuries, they're just being described as minor injuries to Duran and Thielbar. How do you feel about the bullpen at the moment? Are these nagging injuries that make you worry about how long they're going to seep into the season? And are they going to test the Twins' depth? Or are these just, as they're stating them, just minor injuries that shouldn't be a big deal, Lavelle?
I'm crossing fingers that they're just minor injuries. With Duran, you're always worried that a guy who's throwing 103 miles an hour is going to pull something, right now, and Jim, you covered the team. I've covered the team. How many times have you said this guy should only be out a couple weeks, ends up being a month, or this guy should be out a month, ends up being 2 months? So I don't want to say I take everything they say about injuries with a grain of salt, but that's always in the back of my mind when they make these predictions on how long someone's going to be out. So I like to think that they could get by without Durant for a month. They do have some other guys. Griffin Jacks look fantastic in camp. The Twins are telling me his sweeper is like unhittable right now. When I was there a couple weeks ago, Brock Stewart, who's got a live arm too, could fill in that role. But can he stay healthy? Cause he broke down last year too. So I think for a month they can handle his absence. I don't know, if it goes into 6 weeks or longer, then that could possibly be a problem. Once again, I just wonder a guy who throws so hard, it's going to have things like this happen to him, but I think they can get by with it for a month. So let's just hope that the Twins are right in their original prognosis that this is just an oblique strain and it's going to be 1 month.
Yeah, oblique strains really worry me. They're problematic, and so you never really know when that's going to heal. What the problem with oblique strains is that when you start thinking they're feeling good, you don't really know when if it's true or not. Even yourself, if I've got an oblique strain and I start swinging and feel okay, now it feels good. I'm taking batting practice and it's not it feels good, but it's not max effort game speed kinds of things. That thing can blow out again, really out of seemingly nowhere when you think it's fine and it's just not quite strengthened up again. So I'm with Lavelle. I really hope that this is, just we got a little one. We know how obliques are, so we're going to be really cautious and have him work a lot on strengthening that. And when we think that he's in really good shape, we'll bring him back again. And hopefully it's a month, no more than. And I agree that with Lavelle that they can cobble together a back end of the bullpen that will work for a short period of time. You can't be without a closer of that quality, for too long. I mean, your team's set up with him at the back end, and the depth gets really, really good, you know, from there. And when he's out now, all of a sudden the depth is not what it was. And if we're worried a little bit about the rotation, then the depth being not quite as good as we thought it was going to be gets to be a little bit more of a problem. So just hope all of this just to say, take care of it, make it only be a month if at the most.
I also forgot one thing when we were talking about starters. You know, this could set the stage for the return of Randy Dobnak to the rotation.
Randy Dobnak blast from the past.
The most popular player in Saints history.
Can somebody please mute Lavelle's mic?
Well, that's the first time we've had that request, Roy.
I mean, my gosh, it's almost a feels like kind of profanity there. I mean, it's not do that.
It could happen. He's probably the eighth best option. He's probably number eight in the pecking order.
Okay, enough of Brandon, go ahead and mute Lavelle's mic for a couple minutes here. I will thank Aquarius Home Services. Thanks to Aquarius Home Services. We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services studio.
Scott for Aquarius, wishing you a happy new year. The new year often means a fresh start. How about your furnace? Does it need a fresh start? It's been working hard, and we all know there's a lot of winter left to go. With your safety and comfort as our top priority, Aquarius Home Services is offering $98 off any furnace repair. Be worry-free with your furnace. We're here to help, and just a click away at AquariusHomeServices.com. Aquarius, earning the right to be recommended.
Got the winter blues? Start planning your summer. Plan on fun and get out in the water with your boat club. Your boat club offers boat club memberships and daily rentals with access to over 40 bodies of water and over 400 brand new boats to enjoy. Whether you want to cruise on a pontoon, create waves in a speedboat, or reel in a big one on a fishing boat, your boat club has got you covered. Unlimited boating memberships are available now, starting at just $1.99 a month after a one-time initiation. Life is better on the water. Find out more today at yourboatclub.com.
Reminder, the best men's clothing store in Minnesota is Twill in the Edina Galleria. Scott Dayton's a great guy. He's been great for our network, for our programs. If you need men's clothing, go to Twill. If you want to check them out online, twillmn.com. Also, reminder, John Krasinski taking a group to Spain this summer. These trips are always fantastic. Go to defineddestinations.com to check out the details. I highly recommend the experience. Some of it is with the group. Some of it you have time to go off and do whatever you want. But it's just a great way to see Spain, either for the first time or if you've been there before. They're going to hit all the great places. I highly recommend it. So go check it out, defineddestinations.com. All right. So let's get into the controversial subject of the week, which is you can look at the Twins' many trades for pitchers since this front office took over and say, hey, they traded for Pablo Lopez. He turned into an ace. They traded for Johan Duran when he was a minor leaguer. He turned into an all-star closer. They traded for Kenta Maeda when he was a swing pitcher. He ended up near the top of the Cy Young voting. They've had great success stories. They traded for Jake Odorizzi. It was a really good deal. He pitched really well for them, and they didn't give up much to get him. They've had a lot of high-end success stories. They've also traded for a number of pitchers who have either showed up with injuries or have gotten hurt fairly quickly. Is this just the nature of modern pitching, that a lot of pitchers get hurt all the time in all circumstances, or is there something amiss with the evaluation process of potentially injured pitchers? Let's start with Roy.
I hesitate to say that there's something amiss with the evaluation. You know, Lavelle mentioned how the Mets passed on Paddock, didn't want anything to do with them. That turned out to be right. They passed on Carlos Correa. That turned out to be wrong. I think that's a hard thing to know for sure. And it really depends on, I mean, if we look back at the Paddock deal, for example, that was we're not going to be able to afford Taylor Rogers. We're not in a position where we need to re-sign him. This might be the best deal that we have let's take a gamble that, you know, the Paddock injury prone pass is behind him. And it didn't work for that season and since, until he showed flashes of real stuff last year toward the end of the season and into the playoffs. And if he becomes a starter, I mean, this is a long game. This is all long game stuff. I mean, you gotta pick up people at where it makes sense in your roster and your budget to build, you know, a staff over time. So, I mean, I think the jury's still out. He could end up, you know, jumping up in the rotation with the kind of stuff that he has. So, you know, we'll see, but I just don't think it's I think you got to try. Pitchers are going to get hurt, and I think you got to try. And sometimes you gamble and lose.
Yeah, you know, there's three ways to add pitching: is to develop it, or trade for it, or sign it. And you know, the Falvey factor is supposed to help strengthen the pitching in the organization. And they've had some setbacks with some pitchers breaking down or ended up being relievers instead of starters. I can't blame them for trying to build a quality rotation other ways. Like I said before, they're willing to take on risk. Risk that maybe some other teams don't want to take on. And they got burned with Paddock, you know, they got burned with Tyler Molly, I guess you got to just keep swinging and just try to make transactions that you think are going to work out. Like I said, I'm starting to think that DeScalfani was not the key player in that Polanco trade. So there's a run here. I mean, you know, Kenta Maeda was considered a possible Tommy John candidate when he was traded for, but I don't blame the Twins for dealing with him. They said Buzzstar Gratterall over there. Buzzstar is hasn't been scintillating for the Dodgers. He's been functional. Maybe we just need to stop trading with the people who have played for the Reds. You know, the Sonny Gray deal worked out, but you got Tyler Molly, Anthony DeScalfani, and there's one other guy that they've relied on here, and it hasn't worked out. So I don't blame them, but you know, this is what happens when you take a chance on guys who are injury risk. But what pitcher is an injury risk in today's baseball? I try to temper my concern, being mindful that the Twins are the only team that are having pitchers break down on them. The Rays have had 12 Tommy John surgeries in the last 5 years, which is just crazy. So I try to look at it from both ways. So, but I can't totally blame the Twins for trying this route to build a rotation.
Agreed. All right. We are getting late in spring training. We're talking here and opening day is less than a week away. I can't wait for it. What to each of you, I don't want to say what's the most important development of the spring, but what has caught your eye that we haven't already talked about? What has intrigued you about this team or this spring? Let's start with Roy.
Byron Buxton playing and swinging it pretty well. I mean, I'm a broken record about that. We've talked about him before, and I'll talk about him again. I just can't. I think it's impossible to overstate how important it is for him to play a lot of games in center field this year and to swing the bat like he can. So, so far it looks like systems are go, and I'm looking forward to this being the breakout health year for Byron.
Yeah, I was going to say Byron, but Roy beat me to it. So I'll switch over to Carlos Correa, because he has now been able to discuss what he was going through last year with that plantar fascia strain and how much it affected his hitting and how he got into bad habits because of the injury. And, you know, he looks pretty solid. I like the swing. The bat looks fast as ever. I think he's has a chance of having a big offensive season. And I mean, you pair him and Buxton, those guys combined for like barely two WAR, maybe less than two WAR last year. And if they, if they're in the lineup together for most of the season, that bodes very well for the Twins. So, I'm liking what I'm seeing out of Correa this spring.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that the pitching is the obvious topic to talk about right now because it's the only thing on the roster that's really unsettled, and every team ends up needing a lot of starting pitchers. We don't know exactly where they're going to go for that or how Varland's going to pitch. But probably the biggest picture thing is that they have a chance to have Byron Buxton, Carlos Correa, and Royce Lewis all healthy and playing in the field at the same time. And if they do, just the ceiling on this team, on this franchise, just rises.
Really true. And, you know, we've talked about that before, but it's worth talking about, you know, every week. I mean, those three guys being healthy and at the top of the lineup, you know, first four hitters in the lineup, then, you know, performing the way, just a normal performance by those guys. Normal performance by those guys is really good. Doesn't have to be, they don't have to have career years. That would be nice if they all three did. But just play the game like you play the game. Those three guys, it changes everything. It takes pressure off of Julianne. It takes pressure off of Kepler. It really is everything for this club. And if those guys are healthy and swinging it well, then the offense is going to be really good because there's going to be other guys that contribute in and around those three, but they're going to drive it and drive the offensive performance. Like I said before, I am most concerned about the offense because I think the offense has the potential to be good enough where all of these little hiccups that we have in the bullpen or starting staff can be overcome because they're going to be big run producers. If they're not big run producers, then boy, are we going to be talking about, you know, the pitching staff not being good enough. So I think it's those three guys. I think Lavelle's absolutely right about, you know, second pick in this category is Correa. I mean, he just wasn't who he's always been last year. And if he's who he's always been this year, and Buck is too, and Royce Lewis makes the next step forward, it's going to be really, really fun watching guys run around the bases.
Your thought, Lavelle?
My thought is, well, I mentioned Correa. I think and the other thing I'm going to point out here too is that how much of a wild card is Chris Paddock to this rotation, man? Yeah. I don't know what they're going to get out of this guy. I don't know how many innings he can throw. We're all going on a couple of postseason outings to get fired up about this guy's potential, but we have to see him prove it. We got to see him stay in a rotation. Can he throw 120 innings? Can he throw 140? You know, how many times are they going to have to skip him or rest him? Or are they show concern for where he's at? And also, on the other flip side, I think Bailey Ober is going to make a step forward this year. I think he got a lot of confidence last year being able to pitch 144 innings and have some success. And I think he's poised to take another step in his development. I mean, you look at some of his numbers, you know, his numbers are up there with Sonny Gray's and Pablo Lopez in terms of like walks per innings pitched, you know, whip and some other things. He's not afraid to throw the ball over the plate, and the majority of home runs he gives up are solo blasts. He doesn't give up a lot of home runs with guys on base. So he fills the strike zone and he keeps working on getting his pitches better. I think Ober could be that guy who could help fill the void for the loss of Sonny Gray.
Let's get a final thought from you, gentlemen, on anything you like, music, pop culture, TV, movies, baseball. We haven't gotten into the Ohtani thing. I just don't want to get into it until we know more. I don't want to throw out baseless speculation on what might be going on there. We'll get to it eventually, probably not this week, unless you guys have a final thought on Ohtani. That would be absolutely fine. But hey, just a reminder, we are an advertising-based business. We have done very well. We would love to add advertisers, sponsors to this show. This is one of our best shows on the network. It's the best baseball show in town. You get just decades of baseball experience from Roy, decades of baseball coverage experience from Lavelle and myself. We have a great listening base, and this is going to be a fascinating season, and you're going to hear all about it right here. So if you'd like to, if you know anybody, or if you yourself or your business would like to advertise with us, sponsor the show, you can reach our sales executive, Karen Cleary, at kclearey@talknorth.com. Hey, thank you in advance. We appreciate it. So final thought on anything you like, Lavelle.
I'm going to point out that the Twins finished 10th in runs scored. in Major League Baseball last year, and which I think is a remarkable achievement considering how the offense sputtered during the first half of the season, especially with runners in scoring position. And the surge was led by the arrival of Julian and Royce Lewis and Matt Wallner. You think about how the offense turned out last year, and the possibilities for this year are just, to me, tantalizing, because you've got those three guys with a little bit of experience who should be in the lineup for most of the season. You got a healthy Buxton and a Correa who's 100%. And you also have Ryan Jeffers, who had the best offensive season of his career, and I think led position players in WAR on the team last year. I just think this offense could be really fun to watch. I talked to Rocco about it a couple weeks ago, and he talks about how I don't want to sound bombastic, but then he tells me, I think we're going to score a bleep ton of runs this year. You know, so it's going to be fun to watch this team hit, I think.
Roy.
Yeah, my final thought, you don't want to talk about, but I'm just going to say this. I'm worried. I'm really worried, and we should talk about this, you know, when we have time, but it doesn't sound good on a whole lot of different levels, regardless of, you know, what we find out actually happened. This could be, you know, really earth shaking, and I'm worried about it.
Yeah, and I do want to get into it. I just didn't want to do it prematurely. I didn't want to make any guesses. It does sound bad. It sounds horrible for Ohtani. Sounds bad for Major League Baseball. And I think by next week, we'll probably have a little bit better feel for what's real and what is just being alleged. But this is a powder keg, and we will get into it next week here on the Chin Music Show. For today, thanks to Roy. Thanks to Lavelle. Thanks to Brandon Morton. For TalkNorth.com and the Chin Music Show, I'm Jim Suhan. We will talk to you next week.